We all have a certain program for God. We all have a plan of action for Him, what He ought to do and what He should not do. We are always ready to tell God when He should intervene, who should be struck dead with lightning and when, what city should be rained upon with fire and brimstone, what He should permit and what He should not permit. In our personal lives, we conclude that if He loves us, He will necessarily protect us from all evil and disturbance. Or if He should visit us with some trial, that He would give us knowledge why we are undergoing the trial. For in the projects that we have determined for our lives, we want to meet with no difficulty, no contradiction, no trouble on the way. We would always have consolations without dryness or aridity, good without any mixture of evil, health without sickness, repose without labor, peace without disturbance. When we meet with obstacles, we become discouraged, uneasy, and downcast. We become unsteady in our resolutions, and some even get mad at God. But this is pure folly, for purity is found only in heaven and in hell. In heaven, good, repose, and consolation are in their purity, without any mixture of evil, trouble, or affliction. But in hell, evil, despair, trouble, and uneasiness are in their purity, without any mixture of good, of hope, of tranquility, or of peace. In this life, however, everything is mixed. With every good, there is a certain evil, and with every evil, there is a certain good. The wise man, therefore, understands this principle and remains steadfast and firm in his resolutions and in his interior peace, whether he should be beset by affliction or rewarded with great prosperity. Let the weather be fair or rainy, cold or hot, the wise man is not troubled, knowing well that nothing is stable or permanent in this life, and the place of repose is not here. In affliction he does not despair, but waits for consolation. In sickness he does not torment himself, but waits for health. And if he perceives that his sickness is unto death, he blesses God, hoping for the repose of immortal life that follows the present one. If he meets with poverty, he does not grieve, for he well knows that riches cannot be in this life except if there also be poverty. If he is despised, he knows well that here below honor has no permanence, and very often human honor is followed by dishonor or contempt, owing to the fickleness of human beings. In short, in all sorts of events, whether in prosperity or adversity, the wise man remains firm, stable, and constant in his resolutions of tending toward and aspiring to eternal joys. The reason why we lose our firmness and constancy in our spiritual lives and our good resolutions is that we permit ourselves to be governed by our passions rather than by our reason. It is reason which separates us from the animals, and it is reason that makes us to be in the image and the likeness of God. It is passion, on the other hand, that makes us like the animals. Passion is made to serve reason in man, but when it directs reason, we are subject to a lack of constancy and firmness in virtue, and soon thereafter subject to sin and grave error. For passion would have reason call good that which is bad, and bad that which is good. And when our reason, like a cowering dog, has been beaten over and over again by passion, it obediently gives in to the dictates of lust, of anger, of gluttony, of the fear of losing the respect of men, of discouragement, and finally of despair. Reason, thus fettered by passion, then creates a whole false world for itself, in which sin becomes right and virtue wrong. But here we come to St. Joseph. We are in his octave of the great feast of St. Joseph, which occurred on Wednesday, the Solemnity of St. Joseph. We may rightly think, after all, that if anyone should have been preserved from life's problems, it would have been St. Joseph and Our Lady. If anyone should have been privy to the ways of divine providence, it would have been St. Joseph and Our Lady. Not so. If we examine just a few events in their lives, we see how much they were put to the test of firmness and faith in the trials and the vicissitudes of life on this earth. If we look at the Annunciation, for example, we see Our Lady receiving the news that she is to conceive a son by the Holy Ghost, and that he would be the Lord and the Savior of all. What indescribable joy reigned in the heart of Mary upon receiving this news. But shortly afterwards, St. Joseph receives word that she is with child, and knowing that it is not by him, he was plunged into an indescribable distress and affliction. So what was the cause of joy for one is indirectly the cause of sorrow for the other. How sad he must have felt, thinking that Our Lady had been unfaithful to him and to her own vow of virginity. And Our Lady, upon seeing the grief of St. Joseph, was herself stricken with grief, for she had to bear the thought of his leaving her and of his thinking ill of her until God would choose to reveal the mystery to him. And how did she know? Perhaps that would be never. Perhaps it was in the will of God that he should leave and that she should bear this humiliation. For she herself could not say, I have conceived of the Holy Ghost. For that is, humanly speaking, unbelievable. Only God could reveal to St. Joseph this supernatural mystery which exceeds the imagination of men. Let us look at the Nativity. The angels come to the shepherds and sing the praises of God in the heavens. Yet shortly thereafter, Joseph is told to take the child and the mother and flee into Egypt. Flee! The Lord and Savior of the world, at whose birth the angels sing, will now flee into the land of the enemies of the Jews and a land of idolatry. What sense does that make to the human intellect that this child has to flee? St. Joseph could have put 1,000 questions to the angel. Could I not set out in the morning? Which way shall I go? How long will we be there? What employment shall I have? No preparations have been made. My spouse is too weak for the journey. I have no money. Where shall we stay? All of these legitimate questions. But St. Joseph did not utter a word of excuse. From the obedience that was asked of him, but set out in the same hour and did all that the angel commanded of him. And from his promptness, we should understand that the Holy Ghost does not tolerate obedience to his prompting, delay in obedience to his promptings. To delay is to resist, and to resist the inspirations of the Holy Ghost is to pave our way to hell. We should fear to irritate God by our delay, which forces him only to abandon us. Is it not also odd that Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary should have received their instructions concerning the Christ child from an angel? Our Lady is the Queen of Angels. She is the Mother of God. Saint Joseph's charge over the Christ child far exceeds any mission or function that any angel ever had. Yet they learn what they learn not from God himself, as Moses did in the fiery bush and on Mount Sinai and in many other times in Exodus, but from an angel. It was humiliating. But the greatest humiliation was that the omnipotent God should be even subject to the sword of Herod and should be carried around in the arms of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, being subject to them and going where they go. In this event, we should learn to obey the will of God as it is manifested to us. We wish at times to be taught and instructed by God himself, to be visited by God in visions, in interior locutions, or in some other extraordinary way. We want to know why something is happening to us, what the future is, what we should do, etc. But it should be sufficient for us to know that God has willed. We should not trouble ourselves with his reasons, nor even with the abilities or capacities or the perfections or imperfections of those who manifest his will to us. Rather than dictating to God how he ought to deal with us or the church or the world, and falling into distress when God does not do what he ought to do, let us contemplate the great virtue of firmness and constancy in St. Joseph despite great upheavals and profound mysteries. Let us be attentive to the will of God, which is communicated to us first by his commandments, second, by the legitimate commands of legitimate superiors, and third, by those events which happen in our lives which have a clear providential purpose. And in doing the will of God, let us find the peace and tranquility of the soul of St. Joseph, whether it be in the poverty of Nazareth, or in the jubilation of Bethlehem, or in the dangers of the journey to Egypt, or in the consolation of holding the Christ child in his arms, or in the desolation of thinking that Mary had been unfaithful to him. In all things, firmness, constancy, and promptness to the manifest will of God and the inspirations of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.